8 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet. www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, April the 1st. I'm not going to pull any April Fool jokes on you. 2018 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. We'll have to get you involved in some sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be right back, I promise. Okay, like I said, I'll be right back, and here I am. It is 38 degrees outside our studio right now. We'll be bringing that weather update a little later on in the Sounds of Praise program sometime around 5:30 a.m. Oh, I'm sorry, 6:30 a.m., so you stay tuned for that. Let's go to the National Hockey League. Yesterday, the Bruins 5 and the Panthers 1. The Jets 3 and the Leafs 1. New Jersey 4 and the Islanders 3. The Sabres 7 and the Predators 4. The Red Wings 2 and the Senators zip. The Penguins 5 and the Canadiens 2. Rangers 2, Hurricanes 1. Coyotes 6 and the Blues 2. The Canucks 5 and the Blue Jackets 4. The Flames 3 and the Oilers 2. The Stars 4 and the Wild 1. And the Knights 3 and the Sharks 2. The Bruins have taken over first place in their division. And, hey, maybe we can nominate Bruce Butch Cassidy for Coach of the Year in the NHL. I certainly never thought that... with all these new names and young players that they started the season with, that they would be anywhere near first place. But right now, they have a 3-point lead over Tampa Bay. And, I think 6 or 7 games left to play before the season ends. And so, therefore, they seem to be in the driver's seat. And they've had some injuries. But they played through them as well. So I think, yeah, if I had a vote, certainly go to Butch Cassidy of the Boston Bruins. He's done far, far greater work than I anticipated, and probably anybody else anticipated either. So it's going to be interesting to see how far they can go in the playoffs, even with, especially with all these new and young players. But hats off to the Bruins. Hats off to Bruce Cassidy. Hey, you got my vote. Coach of the Year in the National Hockey League. I can't see. Well, you know, now that I think about it, I don't even know who the coach of the new expansion team, the Golden, whoever they are, the Knights, out there in Vegas. Let's see what their record is right now. Well, actually, I guess Nashville is the best team in the NHL. They have 111 points going into, and they lost, so they have still 111 points. The Bruins are 2 points behind them. So there you go. Anyway, we're happy to see what's going on, and hopefully they can keep it going. Let me see if I can figure out, if the season ended today, who the Bruins would be playing. Give me a break. I'll figure that out once I look at what's going on. Right now, it seems that... the Bruins would probably be playing New Jersey in the first round of the playoffs. New Jersey has 89 points going into the season right now. And Florida is 3 points behind. So that means it would be Tampa Bay against Philadelphia. Toronto against Columbus. And Washington against Pittsburgh. So that's two. One of those two teams who are, you know, perennial contenders would be knocked out. So there you go. In the Western Conference, it would be Nashville against Anaheim. And Winnipeg against St. Louis. Minnesota would get Los Angeles. And it would be Vegas against San Jose. Colorado and Dallas. They still have a shot at getting into the wild card. Okay, 416 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts. 91.5 on your FM dial. We're listening to 91.5 FM, Medford Tuck Freeform Radio. We're also on the internet, streaming live, WMFO.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5 FM. .org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, April the 1st, Resurrection Sunday, 2018 edition of our Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. to get involved in the sports conversation. You just have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
My grandchild was born today, 3 months premature. It wasn't supposed to be like this. My daughter, so worried. My granddaughter, so tiny.
1 in 8 babies is born premature. It's the leading cause of newborn death and many disabilities. Visit marchofdimes.com and see how you can help. Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
And the message is brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:19 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Okay, well, let's go to the National Basketball Association. Yesterday, the Wizards 107, the Hornets 93, Nets 110, and the Heat 109, Pistons 115, and the Knicks 109, the Celtics 110, and the Raptors 99, and the Warriors 112, and the Kings 96. Who are these guys? Hey, if we could nominate Bruce Cassidy for Coach of the Year, and he's had, you know, a fair amount of injuries to deal with, but who's had to deal with more injuries than Brad Stevens? Gordon Hayward goes out after 5 minutes of the first game, and then there's been a succession of injuries. Marcus Morris was out for a good deal of the early part of the season, and he's had some injuries since. Since then, we lost Theis. Irving has had some minor surgery on his knee. Hopefully, it's minor. Marcus Smart lost a fight with his with a picture in his hotel room, and then diving for a loose ball required thumb surgery on his right hand, shooting hand. And on and on and on it goes. Larkin's been out for a while. And yet, Brad's been plugging individuals in. Terry Rozier has come to his own. We found out that, I gotta admit, when they drafted Terry Rozier, I said, what are they doing? And after his first year, I said, what have they done? Terry Rozier shows that if you give him playing time, he has acclimated his game to the point where, hopefully, he won't leave the club, but can be a valuable, extremely valuable asset coming off the bench. I was talking with someone recently. I said, next year, with a healthy Hayward, and I don't think he's coming back for the playoffs, but if he should come back, we'll take him, providing he doesn't do any further damage to his career. But next year, you got to assume, and you can't really assume. Jaylen Brown has done such a good job at the shooting forward. He was out there with a concussion, and we're thankful it wasn't any worse than what it was, the way he landed, kind of broken his neck. But anyway, he's back. So I'm assuming Kyrie Irving and Jaylen Brown at the guard positions next year. Hayward's back. I'm assuming he's going to assume the starting position at small forward. Then we have Horford at the power forward. And we have our new acquisition, I'm trying to think of his name, Greg Monroe, Baines, and Theis battling it out for the center position. I'd give it to Monroe because he seems to have been able to adapt to the system fairly well and is probably a slightly better offensive player. I wouldn't mind seeing Theis coming off the bench at power forward along with Baines. That means Jason Tatum is going to be the coming off the bench at small forward, and then you got Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier in the backcourt. That's an awesome, awesome second team. That's an awesome 10 players. And maybe Danny has built up a potential Red Auerbach type dynasty right before our very eyes. And if he has, great work, Daniel. we'll get your name up there in the banners one way or another. And then beyond that, you get guys like Abdel Nader and Semi Ojeleye and Gabuselli, Larkin. I mean, three deep. I think Gabuselli and Ojeleye have potential to be extremely good power forwards. Coming off the bench, I mean, so deep. Well, you can't get too deep because the season is so long. But you got so many individuals now who can go up there and I didn't even mention Marcus Morris. I think the new dynasty in Boston's going to be wearing green and black, or green and gold, or whatever they uniforms they wear. They have a whole bunch of them now. So, anyway, things are really looking up. And no matter what happens in the playoffs this year, that down the line, if we can get everybody back and everybody healthy, whew, this is nobody's going to come to Boston anymore. Nobody's going to want to see Boston come into their city. The Golden State Warriors dynasty is going to be coming to an end. And I say that only because the potential of our bench exceeding the potential of their bench. But looking right now, the Celtics are two games behind Toronto. And if the season ended right now, it would be Toronto and Milwaukee. It would be Boston and Miami. I'd take that. Cleveland and Washington. That'll be a good showdown. And Philly with Indiana. Embiid comes back from his injury, I would say that Philly, I'm taking Philly in that one. Toronto and Milwaukee, that would be a good battle. And I don't count Milwaukee out in that one. Boston should have their way with Miami. And I'm taking Cleveland over Washington, primarily because Washington has not played well in the playoffs. And like I said, Philadelphia, Indiana could go either way right now. So we'll see what happens. Just had to shut everything down. Had a little sneeze going on there. Okay, 4:27 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here on another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. We're talking NBA playoffs. Right now, if the season ended, it would be Houston and Utah. And I think I read somewhere or heard somewhere that Houston has clinched first home court advantage throughout the entire series. Will that help them? It wouldn't hurt, but I think they can be beaten at home. Golden State would be against Minnesota. You got a good Golden State nod there if they're healthy. And Minnesota's going to be probably playing without Butler for the rest of the season. Portland would take on New Orleans. And New Orleans playing really, I mean, Anthony Davis has been a terror the last dozen games or so. He's been a terror since he came into the league, but even more so. And then it would be San Antonio versus Oklahoma City. The way San Antonio's playing, I take Oakley in that one. So that's the way it looks like right now as far as the NBA playoffs a concern? Hey, and I said if I nominated Bruce Cassidy to be coach of the year in the NHL, Brad Stevens gets my vote. Who else? I mean, come on. Who else has done a... Well, here again, there was Casey with Toronto. But if we can catch them and beat them, hey, in the playoffs or whenever. Of course, I did get the voting is done before the playoffs start. So, anyway, I'm a homer. Yes, I'm a homer, homer. homer run. And I'm taking Brad Stevens as coach of the year in the NBA. So, there. Put that in your pipe and don't smoke. 4:30 here on WMFL. Time to take a little break. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. Another edition, the April 1st, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the Resurrection Sunday sports conversation. You have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. I promise.
There's a silent epidemic affecting approximately 4 million Americans. Hepatitis C, a blood-borne disease that infects the liver, often goes undetected since people with the disease can feel and appear perfectly healthy. Less than 30% of all cases are diagnosed. I'm Congressman Jesse Jackson, Jr. You may not know if you're infected with hepatitis C, transmitted primarily through direct exposure to infected blood, perhaps by a needle or even through piercings or tattoos. Others at risk may include people who have had blood transfusions prior to 1992. Symptoms are most commonly fatigue and depression. Liver failure and even death may occur in 20% of chronic cases. There is no vaccine available, but there are treatments effective in over half of the patients treated. African Americans have the highest prevalent rates for hepatitis C among all racial and ethnic groups in the United States. While treatment has been a challenge within this population, it's important to get the facts and understand how this illness works. For more information, contact the American Liver Foundation at 800-GO-LIVER or at liverfoundation.org.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:39 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnie Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636 is the magic number. Love to hear from you. Okay, let's go to March Madness, the women's division. UConn got knocked out again in the final four round, losing by 2 points to Notre Dame in overtime. Who would have thought it? I saw the beginning of the game, and they were not playing that well. I think I saw the first quarter, most of the first quarter. And they were down low, 7 or 8 points. Notre Dame seemed to be playing free and loose, and UConn seemed to be really tight and missing a lot of early shots. They came back, tied up the game, almost won it, and they almost won it again in overtime, but not to be. UConn's still a powerhouse, one loss 2 years in a row. Like I said, losing out in a heartbreaker. Last year was Mississippi State. This year is Notre Dame. And Mississippi State powered their way over Louisville. And like I said, I didn't see Notre Dame much of Notre Dame in the that first period. Although I said they seemed like they were controlling the game, playing loosey-goosey. And I don't know if UConn was tight or was just Notre Dame playing a better game. I think I heard one of the announcers saying that UConn was missing shots that they usually make, so there you go. So it's Notre Dame versus Mississippi State. I think I'd go with Mississippi State. They were there last year, knocked out in the final round. Maybe this could be their year. Okay, with the big guys yesterday. Michigan 69, Loyola of Chicago. Their run is over. They only got 57 points, lost by 12 to Michigan. And in the other game, Villanova, 95. They pounded Kansas, 95 to 79. So we're looking at a Villanova-Michigan final, and I'm going with Villanova in that final game. So there you go. 441 is the WMFO, a Brown Perspective on Sports Time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. Like I said, to get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. And like I said, just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. Be back. Talk some baseball. Baseball is back. So we might as well talk about it, right? Okay. Okay, 4:46 here on WMFO in Medford. Brown Perspective on Sports. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here. Okay, let's go to Major League Baseball. Yesterday in the National League, Brewers 7 and the Padres 3. The Cubs 10 and the Marlins 6. The Mets 6 and the Cardinals 2. The Nationals 3 and the Nationals 13 and the Reds 7. The Braves 15 and the Phillies 2. The Dodgers 5 and the Giants zip. And the Rockies 2 and the Diamondbacks 1. Over in the American League, the Blue Jays 5 and the Yankees 3. The Astros 9 and the Rangers 2. The Angels 8 and the A's 3. Cleveland 6 and the Mariners 5. Red Sox 3 and the Rays 2. The Twins 6 and the Orioles 2. The White Sox 4 and the Royals 3. And interleague play, Pirates and Tigers were postponed rain out there in Detroit. Okay, Red Sox have gotten off the schneid, won their first game after losing a tough game in the first game of the season. The bullpen blowing a 4.4 run lead. I'm getting my sports all mixed up here. But anyway, I'll do better later on. But anyway, and everybody's moaning and groaning because actually the Red Sox have won 2 games now, and they lost their first game, blowing a 4-run lead, the bullpen blowing a 4-run lead. But hey, they came back yesterday behind Porcello. And the day before that, David Price got in their first win of the year. So the Red Sox are 2-1 on the season thus far. And, yeah, you know, the team looks good. People moaning and groaning about the bullpen and the possible problems with the starting pitching, since we have three potential starters, I guess, sideline, Pomerantz, Rodriguez, and Wright. But, I think, as long as these aren't long-term ongoing injuries, I think we're certainly going to hit. Bogaerts has been out of his mind. But maybe John Henry was right. Change in philosophy as far as the approach to batting is concerned. And Bogaerts, I know he was playing with a wrist injury also, so that certainly didn't help. But I'm assuming that the rest of the players are going to get their act together. And that is a formidable lineup. People were talking about infield defense could be a problem. I don't see that, especially when Dustin Pedroia comes back. Hanley Ramirez has been doing really well at first base. We got Moreland to fill in for him in the late innings. We haven't seen J.D. Martinez in the field yet, and he hasn't started hitting yet. And when he does at Fenway Park, it's strange, he's not a pull hitter. So he's going to be hitting the ball, some lot of balls to the deepest part of the ballpark. But he certainly has the power to make them go. Jackie Bradley, because of his glove, is holding down center field. I don't know if that's going to be a situation later on, especially if he doesn't start hitting more consistently. Will his glove keep him in the lineup? Or will we go for a switch there with Benintendi maybe going to center field, or Mookie Betts going to center field? Probably Benintendi going to center field with Mookie Betts staying in right and Martinez playing some games in left field. Moreland going to first base and Hanley being the DH. So there is plenty. Oh, we haven't even mentioned about the fact that my man Swihart made the ball club, which to me made sense. Tremendous athlete, hindered primarily by injuries. And so therefore, plug him in at catcher, or first base, or the outfield. Maybe even third base. And Rafael Devers, we haven't even mentioned him. He hasn't started hitting yet either, so the ball club looks really, really, really good. Then we can switch around Nunez. Let him play a little third base, perhaps. Brock Holt made the ball club. He's still there as our Swiss Army knife. Plug him in all over the place. It's guy, yeah. I think we have a good shot at winning it all right off the bat. Let's put the pressure on. We're not looking. Well, hey, Farrell gets them into first place in their division twice. They go out both times, 2 years in a row, and they go out both times. In the first round, but. Are they good enough to beat the Astros? That's the question. The Astros look better than last year, really. That's difficult to foresee. But, they've added, another good arm to their pitching staff. And so I would see the Astros as being a major contender as far as the season goes on. Although, I hear they suffered an injury or two. And that certainly could change things. But right now, in the American League, Red Sox, Yankees, and the Astros, not in that order, but they look to me like to be the cream of the crop. Cleveland's in there as well. Good old Tito Francona doing his thing out there. And so therefore, hey, it should be a very interesting season. And like I said, new names popping up and the potential for other players, to get things going that we, that might have been have off years. So we'll wait and see what takes place, but it should be interesting baseball season. Okay. Maybe we can nominate Cora later on in the year. As manager of the year, rookie manager of the year. Is there a rookie manager of the year award? I don't know. That I guess it's just manager of the year. But anyway, see if he can contend for that. It wouldn't hurt his resume any. 4:53 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Resurrection Sunday, April the 1st, 2018 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here from every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. And to get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown perspective on sports. Okay, 4:57. Let's go out with some Gronkowski talk. The latest rumor is that Gronkowski has decided he is going to return for another season with the New England Patriots as long as Tom Brady is there throwing that football around. Good decision. You know, hopefully, he'll survive this season and we won't have to worry about questionable decisions.